disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, the devil is relentless, isn't he, boys and girls? The devil is relentless. He is for sure. This is Coach. Coach Dave, we're coming at you here on Monday morning, May 9th. Sorry about Friday. Those of you who might have tuned in to watch us on Friday morning, I was on a ministry jaunt down to Jackson, Mississippi, and the house that I was staying in, it didn't have any internet. The guy had internet on his phone, but he didn't have any internet in his house, and I didn't know that till I started asking late on Thursday. I got down there on Thursday evening, and then I asked him about the internet and found out he didn't have it. So rather than trying to dump the show on somebody else, I just had to cancel it. So I'm sorry if you tuned in, got up, got your coffee, turned on your computer, and I wasn't there. We did the best to try to get the word out to you that we weren't going to be there. But we're here today, and the devil never rests. Never rests. Yep. And God's team does, but we rest all the time. In fact, we're constantly calling timeouts, and we're constantly going in halftime breaks, and we're missing the game, and we're selling our tickets to the game. The whole thing with Target is still out there being pumped up. And we had a good Target event down in Jackson, Mississippi. JR hosted one here in Columbus, Ohio. The response here in Columbus, I think, was tepid. But there were events that were held all over the country, and folks are, you know, you open up on the internet, go to Facebook, go wherever, and you see there's still pushback coming. A lot of times there's a delayed impact, a delayed effect. Target still has not seemed to have relented a whole lot, although more now we had a report this week of some young guy going into the dressing room, girls' dressing room, and filming young girls in there. By the way, their dressing rooms are also co-ed or whatever you want to call them. And you know, so, here's part of it. Here's part of what we're dealing with. People can't see what's going on. We were out there at that Target in Jackson, Mississippi, and the people said we would tell them what was going on. We had nice little flyers we handed out to them and everything. We told them what was going on in the women's restroom. And you know what the reaction was most of the time? Oh, gee, well, I won't use the ladies' restroom in here. People have no idea how the world doesn't just infect them. They don't have any idea, and they don't. We don't have a desire. We don't have an urgency. We don't have a. I don't even know what word I'm looking for. Idea in our mind to even push back, to fight back. We can't see where this is heading, and people will boycott. How hard's that? How hard's that, Rich, to boycott? How hard's that? All right. Well, I'll just go to Walmart. Boy, that sure is brave and heroic. That'll really have an impact. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we took away their Oprah, or maybe we took away their the Joel Osteen away from them. Maybe I don't know. Maybe we took away their right to watch ESPN. Maybe then they would get upset. But I don't know. Again, it comes back to, as I like to say, that a strong delusion in Second Thessalonians is a strong delusion that people believe a lie. Man, are we ever believing lies? Crazy, 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 crazy world. Big news is. Judge Roy Moore, if you follow that story or not, Judge Roy Moore on Friday was suspended by the Judicial Review Board in the state of Alabama. Now, who'd that be? Who would be the Judicial Review Board? Attorney Weaver could probably give us a little bit better understanding on it, but I'm pretty sure it would be this. It would be unelected lawyers trying to remove an elected Supreme Court chief. What's Judicial Review Board, Raj?
Well, it's probably the organization that licenses
It's the arm of the whole bar that disciplines and gives the license, and they suspended his license, which prevents certain things or something very similar to that.
Okay, it's the same group by the same group that removed him before, by the way. Larry, I'll be right with you there.
Yeah.
Larry, go ahead.
Yep.
Now, the Judicial Review Board here in South Carolina is mostly legislators, along with a couple of people, like Roger said, that do the selection process as who gets to sit on the bench in the first place.
Yeah, political hacks. That's all they are. They're just political hacks. And, of course, the major charges brought against Judge Roy Moore were brought by who? You got it. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which, by the way, is situated right there in Montgomery, Alabama. Southern Poverty Law Center is the organization that determines for all of America who are hate crimes and what hate crimes are and who's – I'm on their list, by the way, Past Salt Ministries. We made their list. So the Southern Poverty Law Center has brought the charges, and the Judicial Review Board has suspended – that's right – suspended the duly elected Supreme Court chief of the judge of Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, Supreme Court of Alabama. Duly elected. Second time he's been duly elected. They removed him back in 2004, and I can promise you this, they're going to try to remove him again. I got a video here we're going to show you of Judge Roy Moore. We need guys like Judge Roy Moore. I believe this. When we were down in Jackson, Mississippi, I got the word that Judge Moore was being suspended. My buddy Cal Zastro and I immediately sprung into action. And we were going to travel down to Montgomery, Alabama. It's about a four-hour drive. We were going to go down and get something organized on the ground, an immediate pushback. I believe in all these things when this type of thing happens, when you have an immediate pushback. So we were going to try to organize an immediate pushback and got a hold of some of our contacts down on the ground in Montgomery and pumped them up and hooted on them a little bit. Said, come on, man, get up and fight. And so they did, and they had a little prayer rally down there yesterday afternoon. I was going to go, but changed my mind at the last minute because a couple of reasons. Number one, it was all cost prohibitive to be able to do it. It's almost, you know, change flights at the last minute to fly out of Montgomery, Alabama, rather than Jackson, Mississippi. I already have a Delta ticket. I already have a Delta ticket, but to fly out of it was going to cost me like $675 to switch my flight. I mean, it's just scoundrel. So I had to decide whether that was worth it or whether Cal and the people on the ground could handle it. We know that this review process is probably going to take months, so we're beginning even right now to try to get organized to help push back against Judge Roy Moore. A couple things I want to connect here. We'll pull up on my screen. The governor of North Carolina has not bent over yet regarding the bathroom bill down in North Carolina. Now, the federal government came out and they threatened the governor, Pat McCrory, threatened him that they were going to pull. I listen to this. You tell me this isn't bullying. This isn't blackmail. Huh? They want to pull $1.4 billion. The federal government, the Justice Department, has threatened to pull $1.4 billion in federal funds from the public universities if North Carolina doesn't comply. In addition, another $800 million in student loans will be pulled. So we're talking about I do my math here in my head. That's a bunch of money. $1.9 billion they're going to pull from the state of Alabama. I'm sorry, state of North Carolina. If they don't reject the new law saying men use men's restroom and women use women's restrooms. So far, Governor McCrory is standing firm. And today, Monday, as I'm looking at this article here, Monday's is supposed to be the deadline. He says he's not going to give in. Folks, somebody's got to stand up against these. I just checked my tongue. Somebody's got to stand up against him. Judge Roy Moore is one of those people who's certainly going to stand up against him.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, the Justice Department has absolutely zero constitutional authority to determine where the money is spent. Zero.
We just let them get away with it, Larry. We just let them get away with it. And the Justice Department, help me out here. Hillary Clinton's running around a clear felon, and we're worried about restrooms. But we know this. Just saw this. President Obama himself has vowed to double down on this issue. The president has. So the President of the United States is worried about tinkling in restrooms. That shows how far we've fallen here in America. So it's our obligation to fight back. And I don't know whether to show a video first or whether to use the scripture first. So I think I'll use the scripture first, and then we can come back to it. Let's turn to real quickly to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, I got a video of Judge Roy Moore up. I got a couple other videos I think are going to be appealing to you today. And trying to wake up the church. It's great frustration on my part. This is interesting. I was in Jackson, Mississippi, because I know something that you don't know, because I didn't know it until I went down there. Yesterday, May 8th, 2016, was the 50th anniversary of the legalization of abortion in America. See, we think it was Roe versus Wade, January 22nd, 1973. But the first state to legalize abortion in cases of rape and incest, life of the mother, first state to do it was Mississippi. And it was done on May 8th, 1966. That is 7 full years before Roe became the law of the land. And remember, with abortion, there's always an ugly racist component to it. And the law down in, it was a law because it was passed by the legislature. The law down in Mississippi granted the right for rape or incest. Why? Say, why would they do that? Well, they were having trouble down in Mississippi that white women were having affairs with black men. And then when they get caught, they'd caught rape. You guys, did you see To Kill a Mockingbird? Everybody remember that scene in To Kill a Mockingbird? So fathers, men would find their daughters pregnant from black men, and then they would scream rape. Well, by passing this law, it gave them the right to be able to kill half-breed babies. That's really what it was about. It really was what it was about. And here's the crazy thing. That law became law May 8th, 1966. Ready? Mother's Day. Mother's Day, May 8th, 1966. And here it is 50 years later to the day, May 8th, 1966, Mother's Day. You say, well, why would they, it's Sunday, why would they be in session on Sunday? Because they have limited sessions, and sessions stop at a certain time. And it happened to be May 8th. And on May 8th was the day that they passed that, on a Sunday, Mother's Day, that was the day that they passed that bill. And so the first abortion, which what became the bedrock, the underpinnings of all abortion law, rape, incest, and life of the mother, we still can't get that. We can't get rid of that. We still cannot get rid of that. And it goes back 50 years, 1966, Jackson, Mississippi. So we were there at the State House, Capitol building, tearing down those strongholds, repenting and rebuking and calling for state interposition, for the states to stand up and do the right thing. Exactly what we see going on down in Mississippi. I'm sorry, yeah, Mississippi, North Carolina, and exactly what Judge Roy Moore is doing in Alabama. Are you guys in Psalm 94? I'm sorry, in Psalm 94? It's a good long one, and I could read a lot of it. Let's do it. Let's read the whole thing. Y'all with me? Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show yourself. David said, come on, Lord. We need you now, man. Come on, Lord. Vengeance, Lord. Lift up yourself, thou judge of the earth, and render a reward to the proud. We know what the reward to the proud would be, don't we? It wouldn't be a good thing. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? David cries out. How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Southern Poverty Law Center and Gleason and all that. How long, Lord? See, David felt the frustration we all feel today as well. Verse 5. They break in pieces the people. Oh, Lord, and afflict your heritage. Are they ever doing that? Are they breaking in pieces the people and afflicting our heritage? They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. because little babies going into the abortion clinic, they're the fatherless. I don't know if you've picked up on that or not. As my friend Chuck Gallagher says, you can search the scripture and you'll never see the Bible tell anything about the motherless. It's always the fatherless. Always. Verse 7, yet they say the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Yeah, Lord ain't watching. Lord doesn't care. Understand, you brutish among the people and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, and he gonna see it? He that chaseth the heaven, shall he not correct? Wow. He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? We're hiding from the Lord, right? Hiding all this stuff. The Lord knows, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, and that they are vanity. And blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteth. Thank you, Lord, when you discipline us. O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Hey, wicked, there is a pit coming. Praise the Lord. This is a good psalm. Probably most of you probably never read it. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. He's going to hold up his end of the bargain with his folks. Verse 15. Going to start to get a little choppy here, boys. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow after it. Here's a great question, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Boy, we're asking that today, won't we? Can you get a sign and go to Target? No, the Cavaliers are on. Unless the Lord have been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Roger, watch this, brother. Verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, who frame mischief by law? They frame mischief in the law. They legalize sin. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord's my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own sin. This is a promise, fellas. He shall bring upon them their own sin and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yeah, the Lord our God shall cut them off. So what we see going on around us today, fellas, that isn't anything new. It's been going on for eons. And David, in his frustration, cried out to the Lord for the same thing. Who's going to defend us here? Who's going to stand up for us? Well, Judge Moore is. I got a brief, about 7-minute clip here, I think, Jared. I want you to hear. Listen. I've been saying since Judge Moore got in trouble last time, he's God's man. He's God's man. He's been down this road before. And Judge Moore knows what the rest of us better wake up and understand. Number one, courts don't make law. There is no law legalizing gay marriage. Not anywhere. There's no law. There's no law. No federal law. And the court can't make it a law. And Judge Moore gets it. And if the rest of us don't wake up and understand what's going on, they're going to get rid of this honorable man. I'm sure he's already counted the cost. They're going to get rid of this honorable man. But this is a guy right now who's driving a stake into the ground, a flag into the ground, says, come on, let's go. Let's take on these beasts. This is a little talk Judge Moore gave regarding gay marriage. This is about 7 minutes. Homosexual marriage. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, Mr. Attorney General, members of the House and Senate, honorable guests, honorable pastors, I appreciate all that's been said. I'm a judge. Normally judges don't speak in public about issues like this. But if I should hold back my opinions at such a time as this, I would consider myself guilty of treason toward my country. I would not give this loyalty to the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings. I came here today. I want to thank you for your attendance. I know it's hot. I'll make my comments short. I came here today from Alabama, and as I was traveling, I was reminded of a guy that came back to Alabama came back to Texas many years ago in 1931. It's a guy whose name is inscribed on this county, Colonel William Barrett Travis, from Conecuh County, Alabama, came to draw a line in the sand at the Alamo. He took a stand in the face of an enemy that was far more numerous, but he knew that he had to make a statement for the people of Texas, and that he would give his life. I hope I don't give my life, but I'm going to tell you this is a very serious matter. There's today another threat, not only in Texas and Alabama, but across our country, where state and federal court judges have overruled constitutional amendments passed by the people of those states. And people have just sat by and watched it out of fear of federal government. But nothing in the Constitution of the United States, nothing in the laws or precedents of the federal courts, give federal courts any authority over domestic policy of family and marriage the state of Texas, or the state of Alabama, or anywhere else. Now that may sound good. You may say, well, you mean that 30-something states have yielded to federal tyranny unnecessarily? Well, let me quote out of Windsor, U.S. versus Windsor in 2013. The states at the time of the adoption of the Constitution possessed full power over the subject of marriage and divorce, and the Constitution delegated no authority to the government of the United States on the subject of marriage and divorce.
How Supreme did Court.
1906. 1909. You see, the law does not allow the federal courts to come into the state of Texas or to come into the state of Alabama and say that your Constitution is unconstitutional and start issuing same-sex marriage licenses, because that authority does not belong to the federal government. Last month, when a federal judge came into our state and through intimidation indicated that all the federal court or all the probate judges of our state would have to issue same-sex marriage licenses, myself and the Alabama Supreme Court said no. Today, no same-sex marriage licenses are issued in our state. But the law is clear. It's clear not only in Alabama, but in Texas as well. If state courts have equal authority and equal responsibility to interpret federal questions, Clarence Thomas, 1993, said it very plain. He said, in our federal system, state trial courts' interpretation of federal issues are just as authoritative as the Federal Court of Appeals in whose circuit they are situated. The Texas Supreme Court has recognized that principle. I quote Enron versus Drilling Company Corporation versus Williams. While Texas courts may draw upon precedents of the Fifth Circuit, they're obligated to follow only higher Texas courts. We've got to go back to an understanding that the state has a dual sovereignty with the United States and that their court systems are important. Amen. This great fallacy that's been perpetrated on our communities that everybody now accepts same-sex marriage is simply wrong. Only three states have voted by resolution of the people to adopt same-sex marriage.
No court has any authority to redefine what God proposed in Genesis. The definition of marriage, you want it by man? It doesn't come by man, it comes from God. And man's dictionary back in 1828 recognized that marriage is between one man and one woman, was instituted by God himself for the purpose of preventing the promiscuous intercourse of the sexes, for promoting domestic felicity or happiness, and for securing the maintenance and education of children. That still remains today. In 1967, when the United States Supreme Court in Loving versus Virginia recognized the institution of marriage, they said it was one of pursuit of happiness, referring to the Declaration of Independence, which says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Recognizing that these rights come from God, and if they come from God and they're unalienable rights, they can't be taken away by man. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
Amen.
Sit back now and let this right be taken from us. We would be guilty of the most egregious offense. State or United States Supreme Courts like Justice Kagan and Justice Ginsburg should be recused from sitting on this issue. If they fail to, they violate their own ethical canons of avoiding, not avoiding, the appearance of impropriety. I ask the judges of this state and the justices of this state to stand up for the people of Texas and to do the right thing. Had Colonel Travis decided to surrender at the Alamo, we may very well be called Mexico today. Texas is recognized across this country as a leader in states' rights, as a leader in state sovereignty. If we fail to stand up today, we will dishonor the memory of not only of Colonel Travis, but all those who have died in the history of this great state. May God bless you, bless the state of Texas, and the United States of America. Thank you.
Okay, so there you heard it from the judge, what his position is on it. I don't know if you've ever heard Judge Moore live or in person or even on wherever. He mixes the Constitution with the Bible and with the law. It's a fascinating guy to listen to. Folks, this issue is coming to a head, and it's a good thing. I just happened to see on my cell phone as I was listening to that, Governor Abbott in Texas is going to sign today a bill that bans all transgenders from public restrooms in Texas. Praise the Lord. So see, this thing is beginning to gain momentum. As more and more people are beginning to understand, again, states' rights are God-given right, our biblical duty to defy ungodly rulings and ungodly edicts. Had we done this earlier, we wouldn't have abortion, we wouldn't have same-sex marriage, we wouldn't have so many of the things that we see going on in the United States. So they're after Judge Moore now. They're going to have to go after the governor of Texas, too. They're going to have to go after the governor of North Carolina. The South shall rise again, because those seem to be the ones that are pushing back. Any comments about that, about what you just saw? Any thoughts about this issue at all? Any thoughts about what we read there in Psalm 94? Stephen?
Did any of you guys see that Indiana, where I live, I didn't know this until last night, mothers can drop off their babies in a drop box if in a private location. Did you know anything about this? How is it even legal?
I saw that, Stephen. They're worried about abused children or whatever, so parents who don't want to have their babies anymore, they've given them safe places where they can drop off their children and let somebody else have them. It's crazy, isn't it? And what does it say here, Roger? Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee who frameth mischief by law? We're framing mischief by law in America. Larry, did you want to say something?
Yes, I just want to say man, wouldn't it be great if the church would take to heart what Judge Roy more said.
Unbelievable.
About the courts have no authority to make law whatsoever. I guarantee you, no, I'm not going to speak it into existence. I just wish that the churches and the leadership would take to heart what Judge Roy Moore just said, because 90%+ of the problems we've got in the secular, I don't know what the word is, the way we live issue, is because of courts overstepping their authority and dictating law.
Amen. Amen. So, Larry, when we were down in, as you know, when we were down in Jackson, Mississippi, it's about 90% for us. People don't want men walking into women's restrooms. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can the population be controlled like this? How can the courts make us run for the hills the way that we are? Roger, did you want to say something there? I noticed you're unmuted.
Well, I just can't help but read Psalm 16. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? And you just can't help but read that and just think of Sunday morning at church, you know?
Yeah. Well, and again, the Lord could crush him. It's like somebody said to me the other day, the Lord could end abortion. And, you know, a guy gave me a real great bit of wisdom. He says, yeah. He says, if the Lord ends abortion in America, there are going to be a lot of people going to get hurt. And I thought, boy, is that ever true? Because the hand of the Lord, it ain't going to be pretty when that hand of judgment comes down. He can't end abortion, but he doesn't want to have to end it. He wants us to end it. So I want to show you right now. I might have played this before. This one's about 2 minutes, very short. Matt Truella there, Jared. Pietism. This is why the church is not getting involved. Pastor Matt Truella is the one who wrote the book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, which means going on exactly what we see, states' rights, interposition, the states rising up and saying no to the federal government. Not that one, Jared, the other one, the shorter one. This is only about 2.5 minutes where Pastor Matt explains why the churches won't do that, Roger. Why they won't do it. It's called pietism. And Pastor Matt will explain pietism for us here, again, in this very, very short video, but I think it's really, really informative and enlightening to what we're talking about. You got it ready to go there, Jared? Go ahead and play it. This is Pastor Matt Truella, DefyTyrants.com, talking about pietism.
Pietism, which teaches that Christianity should be a purely private matter and that God's law should have nothing to do with the governance of nations, always tells us that we're wasting our time to be involved in trying to see good laws established in our nation. They mock it as mere moralizing. For example, if someone becomes involved in trying to pass laws against abortion, the pietist immediately objects and says, "That's an utter waste of time. Women are not saved by not having abortions, but by hearing the gospel. We should just preach the gospel." Though what the pietist says sounds spiritual, in reality it works against his position of men coming to know Christ, not to mention promotes lawlessness in society. First, the law of God should be honored among men, and one way it is honored is that it is reflected in the laws of a nation. Second, the preborn should be protected from murder and an unjust death. And third, people who are involved in abortion are more apt to see their guilt and therefore their need for Christ if the laws of the nation do reflect the law and justice of God. These truths contradict what the pietist is trying to accomplish, seeing men one to Christ. These two positions are not opposed to each other. In fact, it is the hope of both positions to see men one to Christ. The pietist simply misunderstands that his position actually hinders precisely what he is trying to accomplish. The point is, good law which affirms or mirrors the law and justice of God helps men to see their need for Christ. Bad law which impugns or contravenes the law and justice of God helps men ignore or justify their sin. When the law and justice of the magistrates mirrors the law and justice of God, people are more readily able to see God's justice and therefore their guilt before him for violating his law. But when the magistrates rebel and make law contrary to the law of God, it hinders people from clearly seeing their sin and guilt, and hence their need for Christ. To learn more about the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, go to lessermagistrate.com.
Okay, the point there, and I'd like to have your thoughts on that. I think this is one of the greatest things that's hindering the church, is personal holiness only. That I become a Christian, and as I become a Christian, the gospel of Jesus is only about me. Now, I'm supposed to share it with others so that they can get a gospel that's only about them. And we see it when we go out on the streets, when we're out at Target. That was the response, as I said at the top of the program, that we heard over and over and over. When we would tell people that men were allowed to walk into women's restrooms, excuse me, the response was simply, well, gee, thanks for the warning. I won't go to the restroom here. They fail to be able to see how this is opening a Pandora's box to sexual anarchy all across the world. And then they fall into this line. It follows right in line with it. Well, who am I to judge somebody else? If your faith is just about personal behavior and personal performance, if it's just a personal faith, then you see no need to codify into law the laws of God. We used to have those, folks. Our nation used to have laws that reflected the law of God. Hey, in our lifetime, in my lifetime, birth control was against the law. It was against the law, birth control was. Did you know that? Till the pill came along. Did you know that divorce used to be against the law? Yes, not the state's law probably still is in there. Certainly homosexuality was against the law. Abortion was against the law. And when we legalize all of those things that are in contrary to the law of God, look what we get. We get Christians who think we're not supposed to judge people, Christians who think that God will forgive you if you sin, every sin you do. We get people who don't understand that God is a righteous God who is upset that people are codifying into the law, mischief being codified by law. And they say, well, we got a separation between the church and state in this country, and we don't. The separation between the church and the state came down as how? Yep. Court decision. Prayer was removed out of the schools. How? Vote of the people? No. A wicked court decision. Bible removed. How? Yep, you got it. Wicked court decisions. And our Constitution was set up so this kind of stuff wouldn't go on. Wouldn't go on. In fact, we fought a civil war. We lost 600,000 lives. Men gave their lives for the Constitution, for the right really the South was fighting for states' rights. They're fighting for the right for self-determination. And when the North won the Civil War, then the federal beast began to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. What was his name? Jefferson Davis? No, Robert E. Lee. Do you know Robert E. Lee, who led the armies of the Virginia, the armies of the South? Do you know Robert E. Lee hated slavery? We'll say that again. Robert E. Lee hated slavery. He hated the leader of the armies of the South hated slavery. But Robert E. Lee said it's not the government's job to end slavery, it's the church's job to end slavery. And he said, if we get the federal government out of this issue, we will end slavery. We will end it. And because of the Civil War, the war between the states, the war for whatever war you want to, whatever name you want to give it, we now have this federal beast who thinks that every law emanates from Washington, D.C., and it doesn't. Anything. Let me ask you this. Rich, I'm going to come to you. Start thinking about this a second, Rich. As a guy who, I met you, brother. I looked into your eyes. I know what's inside you. Why won't guys like you stand up, Rich? Not you in particular. Guys like you all across America. Why was it when I, as I said, I don't know if I told you guys this. I didn't. Yeah. When I went and played in my Pirate Golf League last Thursday, those guys were all high-fiving me because they had seen me on TV fighting against the homosexual agenda. All the lost guys were against me. All the lost guys were for me. The church is against me. The church is against me. Godly men won't speak up. What do you think it is, Rich?
You ready for it?
Yes, sir.
Same reason I was afraid to speak up. The church taught me how to be a coward. Mm. Plain and simple. Coach, my box in the last 10 days has went from here to here.
Praise the Lord, brother.
I'm telling you, so many miracles have happened in my life in the last 10 days because of you guys. I'm telling you. It is.
Amen.
I had my rally at Target.
Amen.
And it was incredible. I got cold chills. It was absolutely incredible. God, Coach, I'm telling you, and I'll tell you off air about it. God weakened their defenses. He drew the linebackers in. He threw it deep and put it in the end zone.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
You're encouraging my heart, Rich.
I left the group Thursday, the huddle, and I went to my land coach, and I want to talk to you about it later. Anybody that wants to listen, I want to do it live.
Hey, Rich, look into the camera. Look to your right here into the camera. There you are. There you are.
I had a literal burning bush moment. I'll tell you off air about it. It unbelievable. God has moved all weekend.
Rich, tell our listeners this, Rich. Where were you 10 days ago? Because there was certainly something that was burning inside of you 10 days ago. And you came and your heart got ignited. But 2 weeks ago, what was going on in your head, Rich?
I left the church a few years ago, and I told you guys that. God put some stumbling blocks in my life. I didn't understand that people that I loved, they were close to me, family, and they began lying to me. And it came to a point where I told them, you can't lie to me and have a relationship with me. Mm. And I cut them relationships off. And pretty much everybody joined them, huddled around them. And this is just one of the things I've been dealing with for a while. And a couple years later, a year and a half later, I heard these words, Coach. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
You're not going to lie to me and have a relationship with me. And I fell down on my face. And I said, Lord, I love you. And I know you love me. And I want to serve you. But I'm a coward. Help me not be a coward. And a couple days later, I found this guy on the internet that goes by the name of Coach Dave. And I started gobbling up every News with Views videos. I watched them over and over. And then you started this group. And I began to watch it. And Coach, you know me. You met me one time. I'm early to everything. That's who I am. I was the first there last Friday. I was the first there Saturday morning. That is who God's made me to be. I'm the first here. I'm sitting here at 5:30 in the morning waiting for the huddle. I'm hungry. I can't wait.
Amen.
And when you came to town, I knew where I needed to be. And you started a fire in me that has opened so many doors.
Praise the Lord.
And things I can't wait to share with you. I mean, it's, Coach, we're fighting the wrong battle.
Wrong one, aren't we? We are.
We're fighting the wrong battle.
The scriptures tell us, Rich, that our enemies will be those of our own household. Right?
Oh, that, hey, it doesn't even have to tell me. I get it, but burning bush moment, Coach.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And all I did, Rich, was give you permission to be a man. So I did, gave you permission to be a man. Hang on, Rich. We got you muted there. Hang on, I'm sorry. I think you're okay now. Say that again, Rich.
I'm telling every one of you, you got fruit this morning. Every Amen. Single one of you.
Amen, brother. That's what's about. Bless you, Rich. I can't wait to hear what's going on. Remember what I told you last week, folks, about the walking on the water? That the sidewalk on that water doesn't show up till you step. You have to step. You have to move. When you move forward, the Lord does, in fact, bless action. He blesses action. But most of us are waiting for him to move us, and then we'll become a little bit more bold. Rich, you've blessed my heart today. Anybody else? Anybody want to say anything?
Hey, Coach, all I'll say here is just to echo what Rich is saying there. Rich, it's nice to meet you. I think this is the first time I've been on that you've been on. But you're right. I mean, I think about what, you know, has progressed me the most in manhood. And that's not to say there haven't been Christian men in my life like you, Coach, who have done it. But a lot of the courage I have to do things and the manliness, or that traditional kind of manliness, you might say, that I've developed, unfortunately, it hasn't come from the church. And now there's a lot of issues that come with that, because you can be taught how to be a man in the wrong way. But as I join in here and I listen to what you guys are talking about, I can't help but think about how I've been taught to be a man through means that aren't necessarily godly and Christian, and now it's my job to try to figure out how to apply those to my faith. But why the other way around? Why aren't we from the get-go teaching men to be courageous, Christian, godly men? We're doing it backwards.
Dylan, unbelievable. Wyatt Earp, Wyatt Earp, brave, courageous, and bold. Anybody remember that but me? Long may he live, and long may his story glory, and long may his story be told. That's what a man was supposed to have been, and we have become so cowardly. We have been made in the image of God and act like sissies. When we begin to cower in fear and run from the fight, we are no longer in the image of God. Do you understand how critical this is? And the church has been feminized to where we have the body of Jesus, but we don't have the heart of Jesus. We don't have the tenacity of Jesus. We don't have the courage of Jesus. We have lost what it means to be a man. And that's been done to us on purpose. Dylan, that blessed my heart this morning too. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. I'm kind of uncomfortable because I hardly ever, ever, ever do this, but the Lord just gave me a word for Rich. Rich, you did not leave the church. The church left a den of iniquity.
Brother, hey, making friends, winning friends, and influencing people, that's what we do. That's the truth, though, brother. That is the absolute truth.
Hey, Coach, one more thing. The thing they don't understand is, and the thing the church and church leadership doesn't understand is, guys like Rich, guys like us here, you know, in one way or another, wherever we are across the states, we're loyal to your ministry because men are loyal to men. And these pastors see these people leave their church in droves and their families leave, and whether they go to another church or just stop coming, they ask themselves why it's happening. It's happening because the leadership is not inspiring loyalty through their masculinity.
Oh, man. You know something? I'll go to war. Dylan, Roger, you'll be proud of yourself there, Roger. I don't know. How'd that happen? But Rich, that's Roger's son. I don't know if you put two and two together yet. That's Roger's son talking to us here. And that's why I love my shepherd, Pastor Bill Dunphy. That's why I love the guy. He's a man. He allows me to be a man, Do I always do the right things? Do I always react and say the right thing? Do I always show the love of Jesus? No. Don't always do the right thing. And when we're together, when men are together out on the street, we always have this this understanding with each other. See, listen, if you see me getting in the flesh, you have the right to step in. If you see me getting in the flesh, you have the right to step in. But if you're standing back and you're watching me and you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit on me, then you let this lion roar. But when it begins to be in the flesh, it begins to become personal, you have the right and the obligation to step in. Don't let me get in the flesh. Boy, wouldn't that be a refreshing thing to hear in church? See, I've tried to make this point, and nobody except you guys, I don't think, seem to get it. The church world is crying for a Christian Donald Trump. They're crying for a Christian man who'll stand up and call it the way it is. They'll call it the way it is. And they looked at Ted Cruz, and he was saying all the right things, but they didn't feel whatever that is. They didn't feel him. And they feel Trump. They don't like what he's saying, but they feel him. They said, it's time, man. I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to roll the dice, they said. Pastors don't have any idea what to do with it. They don't have any idea how to handle the manlihood, the manliness. No idea. Why is it? All you got to do is, if you just pick this book up and you just start going through the book, it's a war manual. This is a war manual. This is not a peace and love manual. It's a war manual. And we have to go to war for really two issues. Number one, to defend our Lord. We have to war to defend our Lord. He told us that it's a war, that he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And then one's head would get crushed. That's war. It's all throughout the scripture. He tells us in the New Testament that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. He didn't say don't wrestle. He didn't say don't wrestle. He says you wrestle. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wrestle, boys, wrestle. Wrestle righteously. So you're supposed to defend the Lord and his precepts and defend your family and those that you love to do what the scripture says, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest love that you can give to your neighbor is to love and honor the Lord. Because when you love and honor the Lord and stand up for the Lord and stand up for his precepts, your neighbor has a better life. It's exactly what Pastor Fuella was talking about there with pietism. It's just personal. Roger, you hope you have a healthy, wealthy, and wise life, and just huddle down there in your home with your family and love on Jesus and sing some hymns, and then let the world go to hell. I don't think that's the way it is, fellas. I don't think that's the way it is. Verse 16, I want to read that again. Psalm 95, verse 16, I want you to have this emblazoned in your brain, because this scripture is just as real as God is love. Who will rise up for me? It's a question. And he tells you who against. He didn't say who will rise up for me and preach the gospel. Who will rise up for me and give a sermon in church? Who will rise up for me and sing a song in church? Who will rise up? No. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? He tells you who he wants you to rise up against. Evildoers. Or who will stand for me against the workers of iniquity? That's what Judge Roy Moore is doing. That's what Judge Roy Moore is doing. And if we let Judge Roy Moore go down again, God help us. God help us. Hey, guys, listen, we are heading towards some unbelievable events and times in America. Like maybe we've read about it as we look over our shoulder. I'm telling you, there's stuff on the horizon. Men like Rich all across America are it's Groundhog Day, baby. They're starting to poke their head up out of those holes. They're sick of it. And the enemy's overplayed his hand. We just got about 5 minutes left. Anybody want to got anything for the good of the group, Stephen?
I just want to piggyback something when what Rich is talking about, and it was like this has been a fire to be a man, and I told you clearly that after Pastor Dunnegy's back-to-back-to-back three different pastors.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Boy, you want to talk about being offended. I don't think you would have any congregation left after all three of those. But I have noticed myself, if I would have been able to, if I was able to be trained up by men like you and who I seen in my first, with my own two eyes, it would help me exercise God's word more profound and more, and it would be a part of my daily life rather than in this coward of a man, and then there's a fire burning inside to be a man. And so you get stuck in between the two, and God's just wanting to remove the cowardness. And what I'm basically saying is if there was a possibility to be trained up like you were talking about, equipping me to do it, I would be more comfortable, more bold to step out rather than sitting like a coward on my
Oh, Stephen, amen, brother, amen. You know, we started these things. I'm just grabbing my phone here real quick. We started these hangouts in last week of January. So that's March, April, May. We're really getting into these things. I would challenge anybody right now. If you go back and you watch these videos we've had here on these mornings, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. It'll give you a sense of manhood and a sense of purpose that you never had before. I believe, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the truth. I've seen what's happened. And I would say that by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, there are the Riches out there and the Stevens out there and the Larrys out there, the guys who are dying to grab a hold of something larger than themselves. And nobody's pointing them in the right direction. That's what we're trying to do here. So, go ahead.
Yeah, you said you started in the last week of January. I came in about a month or so ago. But last week of January, that's the 26th of January, is when Lavori Fennecombe was murdered. Is there a connection, I wonder?
Boy, don't you wonder, buddy. Huh? Is that a Monday? Because that last week is when we started. I'm sure if I go back and check it, I know very well we started. Because when we did it, I thought, well, let's wait till February 1st. We'll just start them in February. No, we didn't. We started to kind of practice that last week of January to get it up and running. And, hey, guys, this is the real gospel. It's not the one you're going to hear, as Larry said, in that church down the hill. This is the real gospel. Jared, you want to say something?
Yeah, Coach. I just think the most important thing that I've gotten out of this is that men are judgment, women are mercy.
Yeah, Coach. I just think that's the most important thing that I've gotten out of this.
Get some feedback there. You're right. You're right. Yep. Men want to go to a NASCAR race. Women want to go to a choir concert. It's just the reality of who we are. And there's a lot of choir concerts in the church, but there ain't very many NASCAR races, are there? And that in a nutshell will explain why we are the way we are. The effeminization. Boy, listen, I'm going to finish this thought. You serve the God you see. You're made in His image. And you'll serve the God you see. If you see the God of the Old Testament, it's going to firm you up a little bit, give you a better understanding of who Jesus really was. Hey, God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.